cliffcentral.com. 360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to another amazing show today. On 360 Biz, we've got a phenomenal lady. We've got a nice show lined up. Thank you for tuning in. I mean, 360 Biz is a show that is designed to create a platform for young entrepreneurs, SMMEs, and giving them information and connecting them with all the right people. I mean, this is the place to be. I mean, if you're out there, tell a friend to 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 join us. I'm with a lovely lady today. Hello.
Hi, hi, hi. Hi, Vulelani. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Looking forward to the show. Looking forward to filling in for Mr. Tebo Homafodi, who is somewhere around the world doing the entrepreneuring thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're looking so bright today. What inspired the look?
The look? No, man. You should always look the way you want to be addressed, you know? Hmm. So, hey, hey, hey.
So, how would you like me to address you right now?
Miss Leah.
Oh, hey. So we've got a beautiful lady in studio today with us. Maybe could you please introduce yourself? Just tell the listeners who you are and what you do.
Hi there. I'm Roxy Page, and I'm the co-owner and co-founder of sassychic.co.za.
So, okay, tell us a bit about Sassy.
So we're an online boutique, and we specialize in South African designers, as well as beauty products and lingerie.
Lingerie.
Okay, so what inspired then Sassy Chic?
So I really had no intention of ever starting my own business, but I come from a long line of entrepreneurs, and when I was 25, my mom decided that it was time I got in the game.
Okay.
And she is never one to sort of sit still, and she was looking for a new project, and we were sort of avid online shoppers, but at the time there weren't sort of big online retailers, and we wanted to have a platform for South African designers and make online shopping easy for South Africans.
Yeah, so I mean, in terms of the online market, or rather the digital space, how are you finding South Africans jumping onto that space?
I think, we went live in 2012 and it was slow moving, but I think the last year or two, there's definitely been sort of an increase in not only sales, but like awareness. Like people are sort of comfortable with online shopping now. And I think that's thanks to sort of like the larger online department stores that have made it like more accessible, and people are familiar with it. They're not like scared that you're going to take their credit card details and run.
And then, I mean, is that the biggest concern that you guys come
across? Yeah, security is definitely the biggest concern for South Africans. I think they're very skeptical, and they definitely like prefer sort of, they're tangible people. They want to see and touch it, and security is kind of a big factor. But we try and like contact that with, we have PayFast, which is a very, very secure payment gateway, and security certificates and stuff. And yeah, so they're getting more comfortable with it.
Okay, so then who are the people that you want to buy your product, your target market?
So we are a company founded by women for women. So we only specialize in women's fashion. I wouldn't say that we're for all ages. We definitely are like a younger sort of market, but not too young. I'd say it's sort of between 25 and 40 years are generally the ladies that purchase from us.
Yeah, and then I mean, in terms of the security that you guys have with regards to electronic payments, because I think earlier on in the year we covered similarish topic, which was around people buying online, and some of the biggest things that people cited that was found there was security, and it's that reinforcement. So I mean, my question's all over the place, but do you guys find yourself in such a situation that you have to do a lot of education out there to consumers? Or the target market that you have is already educated, so it's just a matter of plugging them into what you guys are all about?
I think the majority of our target market tends to be pretty tech savvy, and they tend to sort of shop online. But I always sort of advise people things to look out for on online stores. Like an SSL certificate is very, very important, and a reliable sort of payment gateway. And we sort of try and appease customers with like putting our suppliers stuck at the bottom of our page and stuff. That it just gives you legitimacy, and people know that if you have like a RAM account, for example, with a courier account or that kind of stuff, like you're legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Roxanne, you're an entrepreneur. You started a business, and a business is profit based. Are you happy with the turnover? Are you making money as you expected?
I think as an entrepreneur, like I think I'm always setting new goals and always setting new targets. So I'm happy for now.
Okay.
Next year is a new year.
Okay. So what was your vision then? When starting Sassy Chic?
To be honest, I wish I could say that we had a legitimate sort of business plan. We didn't. We winged most of it in the beginning. Now I would say that for us, we just want to continue to do what we do. We like still being an online boutique. I don't know if we'll ever be a big sort of department store. We like sort of having a niche market. Right now, our goal is sort of to develop our own in-house brand, just with sort of the last couple 4 years experience. I sort of know what the consumers want to purchase online, and we're sort of developing that at the moment.
Yeah. And I mean, what sort of entrepreneurial experience do you have?
This is it. This is it.
This is it.
I have an online sort of media background, so I kind of always wanted to do something online. I always say my mom and my business partner is sort of the entrepreneurial brains, because she's had businesses for years, and this was just sort of another venture. She convinced me to just go for it. So
yeah,
that's, I think, yeah, the experience I have is the last 4 years, to be honest.
So tell us a bit about the award.
So that was the South African Small Business Awards, which the National Small Business Chamber hosted, and along with the sponsors, and I entered, not really thinking that I'd make it as far as I did, to be honest. And then I was listed as a top 20 small business, and then to my surprise, I won the Small Business Champion for 2016.
So I mean, such a milestone. How does it make you feel?
I must be honest, I know it sounds cliche, but I really, really was quite taken aback by that award. It's always nice, I suppose, after 4 years to sort of get some acknowledgement and some feedback that you maybe aren't, like, you're doing something right. So it's nice. You know, as an entrepreneur, you don't have a boss to pat you on the back or colleagues to say well done. So it's nice.
Okay. So was it your first time entering the...
Yes, it was my first time entering that competition.
Yeah, and then, I mean, what? Just take us on a mind trip. I mean, in the next 5 years, what is Sassy Chic looking like in the next 5 years, according to you?
As I said, I definitely want to focus on developing our own brand and expanding to a point that we're able to sort of offer our customers a more, like, a bigger product selection. But I, as I said, I always want to keep the boutique feel of online. Because we definitely have a sort of more personalized shopping experience versus a larger online retailers, which I don't really want to lose. It's kind of our thing, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I would assume from the outside, looking at this particular situation, I mean, if it's a boutique, I would assume that it's I don't know, is it more intensive in terms of how many units you sell so that you can cover overheads as opposed to running a retail store?
Yes, no, absolutely.
And then, I mean, do you see yourself staying in that space for, because, I mean, you mentioned earlier on that you don't want to particularly use it. Do you see any form or way in which you could replicate that in a bigger size, or it's just not doable?
That's a good question. Could I replicate this?
Because you know why I asked this? I love that experience that you're coming with. I mean, I think about 3 months ago, I was in one retail shop, and over a couple of years and a number of years, I've been to a lot of clothing retail shops looking for items and all that stuff. But you find that most of the time, these guys know nothing. They don't even know soap to shampoo to where the glasses are. And on this particular day, we found a lady, and she didn't even have to, you know, but she started explaining material. She started explaining all these, this is one of the large retailers.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the gaps, I'm not trying to coach you in anything, but, you know, on the day, I even gave her a 200 rand tip. because I actually felt like, I mean, if she could do this, how many more clients could they get in terms of giving that experience? And I think that it's this particular experience that you shouldn't look down on, which kind of got you guys the award and where you guys are looking at going in terms of the future. Yeah. So how many people do you guys employ?
We're still a small business. I'm pretty hands-on. So it's myself and my mom and my assistant, and we have a receptionist that answers our calls. So it's just the four of us.
So you're saying you started in 2012, right, Rex?
Yeah, our website went live in 2012.
Oh, okay. So plus minus 5 years. I'm sure you've encountered quite a lot of, or quite a few failures here and there. You know, can you let us in on that?
Well, I mean, any entrepreneur will tell you that you will always face challenges and that you have to take risks. I believe that entrepreneurs are doers, so you can't just think about doing it. You got to do it and take the leap. And sometimes that's, for me, cost me, and sometimes it's paid off. From either stock that hasn't sold or a marketing thing that didn't really work out as planned. But you learn from it and you move on, and we're still here 5 years later, so...
You're doing something right.
Yeah.
And I mean, Roxanne, what inspires you? What keeps you going?
I must be honest. Like I said, the personalized shopping experience is very important for us. I it's pretty basic, the whole buying and selling thing, but I still really enjoy getting feedback from customers where they're like, I was really hesitant to buy online and we had such a good experience and this dress fits me really well and thank you so much. And, or, you know, like when you sort of really exceed people's expectations and they needed it by the weekend and you gave it to them. And I think that sort of, that keeps me motivated.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of the store, do you guys see yourself in any shape or form owning physical stores, chain stores around the country?
I don't say never, but to be honest, online has always been what I wanted to do, and it's still sort of the retail that I believe in and that I enjoy the most. Even personally shopping, I no longer really enjoy traditional brick and mortar stores as much as I enjoy online retail.
So do you see you guys having a better advantage seeing how technology is changing? I mean, we're moving more into the online space more than actually physically going to the mall to do things. So do you guys see yourselves as having...
I think that brick and mortar stores will always be around. I think that traditional retailers will just sort of embrace another avenue in which to sell their goods. I think that... I don't know. It's so hard to say. I mean, even in the last 5 years, stuff has changed so much, and having to meet customers' needs and expectations, just in terms of like either delivery or what the items that you're selling and stuff, and developing apps and, you know, collection points and all these like logistics, and it's always changing. So I don't know if I can say I'm, you know.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you know, what we always ask of entrepreneurs that come in is, there's always someone out there listening to you. Maybe they want to go into the same industry as you, or they want to go into another industry. I mean, you're a young woman who's doing something for themselves and who's doing well for themselves. I mean, what would be your words of inspiration to this person to either keep going or to just start?
Well, just that, just start, just do it. That entrepreneurs, like I said, they're doers. You don't think about doing something, you just do it. And sometimes that kind of means jumping in head first. I don't know. I don't even, people have asked me this before, like, what sort of advice would you give? I still think I'm so young and I actually don't know. But yeah, just do it.
So how do people get a hold of you?
So you can go to our website, which is sassychic.co.za, and all of our social media handles are at sassychicsa.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Eh?
Thanks for having me.
The winner. Are you sure you didn't win any money?
I'm very sure.
Are you very sure?
Very sure.
Well, while we're on the show topic, I'm FNB 61565-2009. That's for Roxanne. Do the right thing. Thank you, guys. We're just going to break out for a song, pay the bills. Thank you to Roxanne. Sassy Shake. thank you to that beautiful Palisa. Do you know that a Volvo song? Segu Seller. Thank you very much for that beautiful song. We're paying some bills. We're with the young man in studio, but I mean, before we're going to jump into him, we're going to be talking to an amazing gentleman, Thabang Hlaya. Oh Lord, I'm butchering his surname, because my surname has also been butchered a couple of times. I'm kidding. We've got an amazing gentleman. He is the president of Ekurhuleni Business Chamber, whom we will be engaging with in a couple of seconds. So, sir, just before we jump to this gentleman, greet our listeners. Who are you? Uzeleni la.
Okay, my name is Nkosi Muremoholo. Good afternoon to the listeners of Cliff Central. I'm here to promote my book, to tell you about my book, guys. This is the book that I published on the 30th of December last year, but it started selling this year, March. So it has been doing good in the market. The book title is Hashtag I Pray I Never Die Broke, Mind Power. So it was inspired by my background, having grown up in a poor condition, knowing how it is to feel broke and what does it take for one to survive such a circumstance. It takes mind power. It takes a certain information for you to survive such a condition.
Yeah, so where you from, man?
I'm from the Vaal, I'm from Van der Bijl, so I came all the
Van
way from...
Van der Bijl Park.
Yes.
Funny thing is, I went to Vaal Christian High.
Yeah, I'm aware of the school.
Are you aware of the school?
Yeah,
I went to
Vaal.
They shipped me off.
That's dope.
And Faf. I ran away. Where'd you go to school?
Pro Arte Alphen Park in Pretoria.
Hold up.
Yes.
Wait, where?
Pro Arte. Alphen Park, yes. No, not Pro Art. We always
Pro
argue
Arte.
That, yes.
Oh,
Pro
okay.
why is it Pro Arte?
It's an art school, so...
Pro Arte.
The accent.
Feng Shui. Yeah, that's like taxi drivers saying, I don't know... coming up with some funny French word for what they do. Imagine walking into a taxi one day and then the driver looks at you with that Zulu face and he says, I guess it's positioning ourselves. But I mean, of all the different things you could have done, man, why this? Just give us a snippet for people that are going to be listening in a little bit later on.
Okay, why the book? That's the question.
No, I mean, why this? Because I mean, this is more of a leadership journey that you are on.
Okay, yeah. The thing is, the way I grew up, you know, it's not like I'm the only one who has faced the same circumstances. Actually, there's plenty who are facing even more, even worse, you know. So I decided, you know what, instead of keeping quiet of the circumstances that you grew up into and where you'd want to be and the kind of information you have, share it with people in a book and just compile it in a book and share it with everybody. They can draw up inspiration and get a few lessons as well, how to navigate their lives and survive the same situations that you did. And then it's about the love of business and entrepreneurship. You know, this is one of the projects that I've done, amongst others. Last year I was running a construction company. We were doing a project. So I figured, you know, it's not a job that will give to a person that will solve their problem. Sometimes it's the information that is needed in their mind so that they can take better decisions in their lives, in their lifestyle, you know. That's why I'm busy doing those things. You know, I do seminars, I talk with the communities, I help them with financial education as well, you know, what to do, what not to do in terms of this and that, you know. That's basically why I chose this journey.
Yeah, and I mean, you could have written about anything, right?
Exactly.
But why did you choose mine?
I call this my business card in a way. This is my introduction. There's more coming, and there's deeper than that one. You know, there's a bit of controversy in the book as well, because I challenge the status quo as well. I ask the questions that so many people are afraid of asking, because it has been the norm. It has been how the system works. So people are not confident enough to question how things have been happening. So I think I'll go deeper from there in the next project, you know. I don't know, we'll see, but in the next 2 years there's something deeper coming from that.
So I love it when individuals push the button and challenge the status quo. How are you challenging it? I mean, well, we don't have time to read through the whole book,
yeah, of course.
But I mean, the book is in front of us.
Yeah.
We're looking at the book. Tell us a bit about some of the status quos that you challenge in the book.
We live in a world that will tell you that if you didn't go to school, you're a failure automatically. I'm a teacher by profession, so we find that in schools we teach learners who are not that good in mathematics or any subjects that is recommended for them or that their parents chose for them. And because they don't do good in school, the society somehow rejects them. Because they don't like school, it rejects them that you're not going to amount to anything in life. But I'm saying let us not discourage them to say, because you didn't pass mathematics or you didn't do your grade 12, you're going to fail. You've got talents, you've got the God-given talents, you've got, in the book I call it the core genius. You've got that particular talent that no one has been given the same. You know, you've got that genius in you. If you look in the word genes, it says genes in us. So that talent has to be the core. So it doesn't have to be because you've come in from school that you're going to succeed. Sometimes it's tapping into that core genius, you know. So I also challenge the investment kind of principles that we've been taught.
So I wanna jump in there.
Yes, man.
Oftentimes we have heard people say that education is the key to success. So I just wanna spark a dialogue amongst the three of us right here. What do you think of that? When someone says, because I'll tell you my perspective and where I'd like to drive this to. Because from me, I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that education is the key to success, but my stance is I've never seen a key open a door by itself. Mm-hmm, you know, similarly mm-hmm. to what he's talking about, because it can't just be
that certificate.
Just that. And yes. Then you do not. What do you think about that?
You know, what you're saying is also reminding me of the quote that we usually say, that knowledge is power. You know, I believe strongly that education contributes to that. It's mm-hmm. a contributing mm-hmm. factor for you mm-hmm. gaining knowledge.
Yes.
So, I mean, without, it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. Education is a part of that village.
Yes.
You know.
No, I get you. You know, there's two different things. There's school, there's education, you know. And within the education, there's different types of education. There's traditional, there's informal, and there's formal, informal, and non-formal, you know. Those three are important. Those are the key to success, or those are the key to someone's survival. Mm. But the thing here, we're questioning the schooling system, not education. Education is very important.
Education is education.
School is school. And the system taught in that, like the system that is used to run schools, that is just that. It's not education, you know. Mm. So that's that. So people misunderstand when we say we question schooling system, not the education itself, you know.
So I mean, you say that you're a teacher. Why a teacher?
I found myself being a teacher. I wanted to be an engineer, but the circumstances didn't allow at the time. But I found that, you know, I was a good fit into this, you know. Ever since me starting to teach professionally and having to go through the whole 4-year degree, I realized that this is the platform that you can use to reach, especially the young generations, because you can't really go up there. They already have their own. They're far in life, you know. There's so many things that you can't change. But at least if you influence the youngsters, that's where. So at least now I see the benefit of being a teacher, you know. Although I want to go out of the system and do my own things, but yeah, I'm not complaining about being a teacher.
So are you banking school right now?
No, we had an arrangement. We had an arrangement with my leaders. Yeah.
So, okay, cool. So the second one, you're talking about profitability not profitability, but shares and investments.
Yeah,
so
the second one. Yeah, the second one. I'm a student of Robert Kiyosaki. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah, yeah. I shared a platform with Robert Kiyosaki. I want to.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I think Pretoria. Where?
Now Pretoria.
Okay.
And also at the Crown Reef thing, Gold Reef City, Crown Reef, at the Tsohosan. They had a private event there.
Oh, the only time I attended his events was in Convention Center in Sandton, right here in Sandton and Pretoria last time. The last one, it was in Sandton.
Yeah,
I don't know if maybe I saw you there.
Now you're talking to a great guy, my man. I could be a Robert Kiyosaki. I'm kidding.
But yeah, that's my teacher in terms of financial education. You know, I'm a good student of his work, and I love his work, you know. And when you look deep into his work, you'll find that he challenges most of the things that are said to be the recommended ones to do, especially when you invest, you know. I'll make a typical example. He says in his book, savers are losers. And somebody will like, oh, but everybody says I must save. The system says I must save, you know. But you have to understand who does it work for if you save. And you have to understand the fundamentals around that. Like there's inflation, the criminal tax, the CPI prices, you know, there's those things. So I try to share some of these things in my book, you know, just to give people a different perspective from if you go to a bank and get a normal investment advice. Some of this, like, I usually get people coming to sell policies to me, and the questions that I ask them, they themselves can't answer those questions, you know. And the simple question that I do is, I ask them, is this an investment advice, a sound investment advice, or is just a sales pitch, you know? And you get to see, it was not about helping me to invest. It was about them selling me a certain policy, you know? And I get deeper into my questions and ask a little bit of those questions, you know? So we just have to challenge those things so that people get to be aware what's happening around the world, you know? Yeah. So those are some of these things that I'm talking about. Time management, you know, relationships, a little bit of self-help material, you know, business as well, you know, and I share my story as well. Where am I coming from? How far am I? Where I'm willing to go? And how can we solve problems in the 21st century? Mm-hmm. The only way I think entrepreneurs can survive is by solving problems. How to get successful is by solving problems. You look around you, you solve those problems, then that's how you become successful and rich.
Okay, cool. We're just now going to jump into a caller that we have on the line.
Yes, online we have Mr. Thabang Hlanyane, president of Ekurhuleni Business Chamber. Hello, Mr. Thabang.
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you, sir?
Good afternoon to your listeners.
Yes, thank
I'm
you.
I'm okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Can you please just tell us then what it is that you do, sir?
We are a chamber which is located in Ekurhuleni in the East Rand. Mm. Basically, we mobilize businesses of all sectors, you know, to come together under one umbrella,
yes,
you know, with a common vision of advancing the SMMEs within our locality.
Okay, sir. And then when was the chamber established?
The chamber was established in 2012, mm-hmm, you know, with a very clear intention, you mm-hmm know, of challenging, you know, the skills shortages which we noted within our members, you know, most businesses within our constituent.
Okay, sir. So you are a member-based chamber?
We are a member-based chamber.
Now, as an entrepreneur, what would then be a point for me to join the chamber?
You know, there's a number of things which one can benefit as an entrepreneur whenever they join the chamber. Number one, you know, you get to be on a platform of business people.
Yes.
Whereby you will be in a position of networking together.
Mm.
The other thing which the chamber works very smart on is to actually assess, you know, the skills of members, especially where they will be having other challenges,
mm,
you know, on how to run their businesses. We create mentoring platforms,
yes,
training, as well as exposing them to markets. You know, if you can check today, most SMEs, especially those who are from the black background,
mm,
do have challenges whenever they have to knock in a very single door of a well-established company.
Mm.
So in many areas, you know, we were actually labeled leading as tenderpreneurs based on the fact that the skill of challenging the private sector in terms of the business skills that we have, you know, is very centered, you
mm
know, to the little, you know, opportunities that we know within the government. So as a chamber, we are trying to, you know, to expand mm that network in terms of exposing our members, you know, to see for a leading other business opportunities out there.
Oh, okay, sir. No, I hear you. Which companies then, sir, have you partnered with in promoting the SMMEs?
The companies that we have partnered with is GEP.
Mm.
We have Maxsteel.
Mm.
We have Old Mutual, which actually drives this economic challenge in terms of business skills within our members.
Mm. So then,
at the same time, you know, our local authority, the municipality, the LED department, is also one of our partners, you know, that actually help us to realize, you know, this vision.
Okay, sir. So then going back then to becoming a member in the chamber, you know, what are the benefits thereof, you know, that the entrepreneur can get out of being a member in the chamber? Hello.
Number one, you know, yes. A week ago I visited. Hello.
Yes, yes. No, I can hear you.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you, sir.
Yes. For an example, a week ago I visited Tembisa and, you know, where some of our members are located. Mm-hmm. And I remember actually telling them about some of the government, you know, structures which are there to assist SMEs. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the members basically asked me, Ori, Abu Chabang, I can hear you talking about GEP, GEP, you know, which is GEP, Gauteng Enterprise Propeller. We know for a fact, Hori, we do have all these structures within the government that are meant to assist the SMEs out there. Mara, access of information on those kind of structures, you know, just to be blocked, you know, to a certain extent, or if it led to a normal SME around the corner. So the chamber works as that, you know, special purpose vehicle to make it a point where it brings those services to the township for their members, you know.
Yes.
Now, recently, as a chamber, we are actually busy negotiating with the municipality to bring business support centers around the townships, you know, instead of, you know, our members driving from, you know, your Duduza, your Takani, your Tembisa, you know, to as far as Joburg. We are saying, let's have those centers within our townships. And whereby you will house your SARS, you will house your CEDA, your GEP, you know, all these, you know, structures which are meant to advance businesses. We want to do that. So as a chamber, I think if one has to be a part of that kind of a structure, he will benefit a lot. Besides those other factors, you think about things like, you know, funding, especially at the SMEs. It has to be a challenge. But now being in a network whereby we can assess the needs of our members, it is easy for us to go to well-established companies and negotiate for our members, especially Habatola Msebizi, Koreba Kono Tola Funding. So, you know, the chamber can add value on that part. But the other thing, we look at things like policies that makes it difficult, you know, within the township for some of our members to do their businesses at ease. We negotiate with the town council, you know, where at least they create that conducive environment that our or entities in the townships get an opportunity to exercise their businesses, you know, without being blocked or prevented from really operating their businesses. That is one other advantage of being a member of a chamber. And once you are in that platform, you get to voice the frustrations that you are faced with every now and then. Mm-hmm. And through the networking platform that you create, we invite, you know, well-trained, you know, tutors to actually give us a background on how can we really make the point or the challenges that are accomplished.
Yes, sir. Now, looking at the years, sir, that you have been operating, you know, over the years, how much impact have you had on SMEs? And do you think maybe there's still a whole lot of maybe improvements that need to be made on the entrepreneur side?
Yes. You know, in the past few years as a chamber, we have managed, you know, within our training department, we also have a training department which monitors, you know, the skill shortages of our SMEs. We have trained about 63 SMEs, you know, and we have helped to register about 25 co-ops. But we don't only do that. What we do is we register them, we train them, we also put them on programs on how to run their businesses effectively. Those SMMEs, I'm sure this Friday, they will be bearing testimony on how did the chamber really assist them in achieving, the profits which they anticipated within their companies. Co-ops, we have noted, and with a very serious concern, Warren, you can have a co-op, Elim Hore, Iroka, a school uniform. That is business to us. But at the same time, you do have industries that use the overall Sigamon. So what we do, we train you as a co-op, we teach you on how to do those safety clothing, and we actually create a marketing platform for Wena, whereby we will go to these companies and say, look, within the chamber, we do have a sector that deals with this, and we think if ever, whenever you need, in terms of your procurement, opportunities, we want to expose our members to your company so that they can be used. Some safety clothing. So those are the other things.
Yeah.
The thing is that we have GEP as our partner, and GEP alone as a government structure, it cannot cover the entire Ekurhuleni. So in one way or the other, we have extended, a concern, a gap, it is needed in terms of skills training within our members. And the very same platform of access to markets for Bona, exposing them, to those kind of private sector selling lorry, they never knew or their money can be made out of them. The chamber worked very smart lately to do that. But there's still a gap we need to fill up. Retole more of the private sector, supporting what the government has already done for the SMMEs around here, together with the chamber.
Yeah, Mr. Thabang Bulelani here, and I'm co-hosting the show with Leah. How are you, sir?
Hi, Bulelani.
Yeah,
I'm okay, man. Thank you.
Yes, I find it particularly interesting. I'm an Ekurhuleni resident, and I've been an entrepreneur there for the past 9 years, and I've never heard of the chamber. And I see a lot of synergies, because just next week Friday at Rabasutu Hall in Tembisa, we're hosting a township business innovation seminar, and it would have been nice to collaborate with the chamber, in discussions around the township market and how small businesses can develop and move themselves to a whole new level. And I think that one of the questions that I'd like to pose to you right now is, with regards to the entrepreneurs that you guys are working with and you are developing, what are some of the biggest challenges that you find when dealing with the entrepreneurs themselves?
Look, you are right, Onabulelani. Most of our SMMEs, you speak to them about the concept of your chamber. Obona, it's a new story. Remember, we do have chambers in the past that used to be very visible within the black community, in NAFCOC. By then, business people knew exactly when they joined that structure or what was their intention. It focused Haholo Mohu, the retail industry. And many people when in Barana the shop by then made it a point where they come up as a collective and save together for them who decide the shop about. Today it is quite a challenge. And as a chamber at the moment, what we have done, we have identified a task team within ourselves. Elim Hore Itazwa, Luhore Ilu educated the shop. The business is telling about the importance of them being part of the chambers within their locality. Because the truth remains, this morning I was in a meeting in a construction company, whereby I was negotiating for our sector, Elimho Eho Construction. The number one thing Elimho Kileka Elemoa, as I was speaking to this to the chief procurement officer, he said to me, Thabang, every now and then we walk around looking for SMMEs that we can assist. And in many cases, We don't have a list about Tubakamba. Now, if ever people were very aware of if they joined organized businesses and be part of their own, with ease. I speak to you right now. You have made our work very simple in terms of really knowing what there are structures they can see. Now, you go to Tembisa, you will still find out what there are structures they can, Greater Tembisa Chamber, Tebiki, you know, there's four structures, but all of them, they are now under one council. I can tell you one thing at the structure still. Their main focus, Hanesihori, Bazibana, it would have been distorted, that focus. Yahore Bahuji City Company Sabo. So, as a trainer, Rona as a chamber, as a DT, this is what we did. They say, let's have a testimony at Samayang to go and educate all the business people, including the local chambers that we have, Hore DJ Kasarona, so that we can really start speaking as one voice, yeah, business within the group.
Yeah. No. I definitely see a lot of synergies because, like I said, the initiative that I run for entrepreneurial development is not a chamber. But what we have done is that every third Saturday of the month, I gather young entrepreneurs in the township. And this could be anything from about 100 to 200 entrepreneurs every Saturday at Rabasutu Hall or Mruting Park. And they just come in for free. And we bring speakers like your Billy Silikani, your DJ Spoo, your Tibo Touch, all these different people just to inspire them. And I see a lot of synergies with regards to that particular thing because we're not a chamber, we are not member-based, but all it is at the end of the day for us, or rather for me, is to develop people in the township that have got a mindset for entrepreneurship, that have got a mindset to find an alternative way, that have got a mindset to create their own brands and create their own products, because I feel like the time has come where instead of going to buy food at KFC, we can develop and create our own KFCs. That's the mindset that I have with regards to that. And in the next 5 or 10 years of developing entrepreneurs, I feel like we need to have a black company that is on the level of your Green Acre or your Aveng or your Group 5 or your Group 4, you know? So I definitely see a lot of synergies there. And I think that after this phone call, I'm going to give you a call and maybe invite you to join us. But before I let you go, sir, what is happening on the 18th of November?
On the 18th of November, Eguleni Black Business Chamber has organized a gala dinner, which is actually meant, you know, to unite all businesses around Eguleni. Basically, what we have done, we have invited the government sector to be part of Yonan Trio. GEP will be there. Old Mushul will be there as our partner. And McSteel will also be there because we want now to start exposing our members more who different businesses selling for never shady as business. Now we will also be exposing the entrepreneurs that were trained by ABT. You know, Babylon Rabba register to be as you know, their businesses and those that are now cooperatives. Now the main intention here on to you is now to actually make it a point or within our membership. We allow our members now to get to start getting used to an idea. You always a business transaction sitting in a dining hall, meeting in around the table, and really making it a point where they secure appointments for next week for their businesses to advance. I'm sure that is the other thing, Elimhori, as Kilekaba lady this morning to come to my office. In a busy kibuali, those suppliers who happens to be our partners already. Let's make it a point where we create this gala dinner to be a networking platform. Mara, at the same time, it must leave a mark. Or some of the SMEs building or battle validating more. Create an opportunity for them or the business transactions when they meet some of your procurement officers there.
Yeah. Now, I definitely think I love it. We'll definitely be linking up with you as well. Just to, I see a lot of synergies and you'll see when we talk as well. So, Mr. Tabang, you know, how do people get a hold of the chamber?
Basically, let me give you our office number. Our offices are in Jimiston at President Street on the fourth floor, Suite 1. And our telephone number is 011-825-0501. And then you can also log into our website, which is www.ebici, which is ebici.co.za.
Thank you very much, sir, for offering us your time. I hope I've got a free entrance ticket.
I'll be waiting for you, Bule. I'll definitely be waiting for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. I'll be there. I'll guarantee it. I'll be there. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, man.
So, brother,
yeah, probably lunch.
We're shutting it down with you. What do you have going on? When is yours? On the 19th?
Yeah, on the 19th, on this Saturday, we're launching an audiobook version of my book. We're launching an audiobook version. We've been in studio in Sharkville doing an amazing work in studio at GSE Records. So we'll be doing that. But this is a business event. So within the business event, we're launching the audiobook. So, but then we'll be finding speakers. There we've got four main speakers. Mr. Tony Dovey, I'm sure you've seen him before in one of those Galaga Estate presentations by Success Resources. We've got Hadile Mokoni, who is the voice behind the audiobook. He had an opportunity to study abroad in the UK. So he's got quite a good quality of voice, and he's also coming from the township. It's about uplifting us from the townships. And we also have Tabang Mashego, one of the inspirational ladies. She's 23, but you would assume she's 50 when she speaks, you know. She's quite a powerful young lady. And we also, lastly, we have Emmanuel Bonoko, who's going to be our speaker as well. And then I will be closing off and doing the vote of thanks. But that's a space for networking as well, you know, getting other opportunities. You know, we'll be having other stakeholders that will be presenting opportunities. We'll be having small startup companies that will be exhibiting their products, their you know, everything that they do, their services as well. So it's a chance for young entrepreneurs and everybody who's in business to find a working hand with moving into the next year. This is basically preparing them for the next year, you know, setting goals, planning very well, and going to the next year knowing what to do with an inspiration, with a powerful motivation to take you into the next year and doing what you have to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do people get a hold of you? How do people buy tickets for this event?
They can get the tickets at the gate, but they can also go to our Facebook page, Africa Amplitudes, and then they can also go to our website where there's a booking information as well. They can book from there. They will get a ticket by email. And then we automatically take the information to put it into the database. So when they get there, they show the ticket from their mobiles. The website is www.africaamplitudes.com, or they can send their booking information on bookings@africaamplitudes.com. That's an email that we respond immediately. Or they can follow my Facebook page or Twitter page. My Facebook page is Nkosi Moremoholo. Then I can give them details about how to get to the event, how to get tickets, and everything else they will need.
Do you pray to never die broke?
Yes,
I do. No one wants to die broke, man. if you die broke, is your fault. But
it definitely is.
But if you were born broke, it was not your fault.
Yeah. No, definitely. No, thank you so much.
No, Kosi. Thanks a lot, guys, for the opportunity.
Keep on doing your thing. Yeah. Keep on pushing and keep on inspiring.
No, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks a lot, guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much to all our listeners, Mr. Bulelani.
Now we're done. Quickly before you run away. 15 seconds of or 30 seconds of inspiration.
Believe in yourself, trust in your faith and intuition. They already know who you want to become, what you want to become.
Yes.
So it might be hard and difficult, but don't give up. Keep pushing. But the key thing is to start. Don't hold it into your head. Start. Whatever it is, start. Then we'll get other things as you go on. Just start.
There you have it, everybody. Thank you so much.
No, what's yours? don't shortchange it. Yes. You know what?
Keep on going. Keep on going. It doesn't matter how slow or how slow the journey is. Just keep on going. It's not about, you know, the destiny.
Keep on going.
About the journey.
I'm going to give her a break.
Now, we're just having crazy fun. I mean, we're jumping into the silly entrepreneurial season. We're going to be dancing in December. We're going to be having fun in studio. I normally close the show off by saying get things done, but You know, they don't pay me to speak.
Sure.
They pay me to present. But sure. I'm kidding. I mean, one of the biggest things that I want to put out there to anyone who's out there who's a young entrepreneur is you got to ask yourself every day you wake up in the morning, how bad do you want it?
Yes.
And how I break down the word bad, the BAD simply stands for boldly accessing dreams.
Nice.
How hungry do you want it, though? Because, I mean, when you're caught between a rock and a hard place, you got to make up in your mind that you really want it that bad. And you got to make up in your mind that nothing is going to stop you. Come hell or high water, you will ride higher than the hell or the high water that is coming in your way. Why? Because your plan A is to succeed, your plan B is to succeed, your plan Z is to succeed, your contingency plan is to be great. Why? Because you were not just born to be successful, but you have got an economic right to exist, an economic right to be number one. So go out there and get things done. How bad do you want it, Mr. Get Things Done? Bulelani Balabala, Liyankosi.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.